would take your Bibles. And fellas, I think I want to start in a different place. I want to start in Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 in the New Living Translation. Galatians chapter 5. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. And you know, I have noticed that, and it doesn't surprise me in the world, but it surprised me in the church, in my church life that started in 1971. I've noticed, you meet somebody and you'll be friends and then all of a sudden something happens and it's terrible. I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. This strife that the devil, it's the devil that genders it up, gets people to turn on one another, gets people to fight with one another. And I want to talk about that tonight just a little bit. And Father, in Jesus' name, just speak to us tonight and show us what there is to know and give us a direction that we can go. And everyone said, amen. Yes, I have seen over the years, how many of you have you seen that in church? People that loved each other, and then they just, things, people get to talking about one another and biting and devouring one another. And if we're not, it's so hard to stay out of that. It seemed like it's been hard for me to stay out of that kind of stuff because your feelings get hurt. And I found many times I thought one thing was one way just to find out it really wasn't like that. And that there's a lot of misunderstandings, I think, that Satan, he sows them, plants them into the body of Christ, just over and over and over. And church people fight about the silliest things, it seems like. And I don't think that's a good testimony for us. And people that see us fighting, if that's what we're doing, it's not a good thing. Tell you another thing is every denomination, every many churches, it's like they're saying, we've got it all. Everybody else is wrong. And if you really need to be at our church. And I want to say, I don't agree with that. And the people that stand behind this sacred desk, we don't have it all. Okay? We're a part of the body. The word is very clear, as Paul spoke to the Corinthians, that the eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. See? Or the hand cannot say, and yet that's what we're doing. I see that so much in the body of Christ. And what the church really needs to be able to do is come together. And and we just need to try to tolerate one another. And don't let anybody, don't ever, you're taught here every time, we don't believe that. We don't believe that we have it all. We believe that we're part of the body and we want to help. As you look at our giveaway programs and our volunteer programs, we give away to people that don't even go to church. And we, as I spoke last week, love your enemies and pray for them. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In so doing, you'll bring conviction on them. We do that here. We literally do that. And I think that's the right way to be. And I think another thing, I went through about 18 months once, many years ago, as the Lord was teaching me some things, of just telling people, I'm going to let you have the last word. And a lot of times I didn't agree with that last word. All the more reason for me to let them have the last word. And I really believe that it's hard to keep your heart in such a way that we can enjoy the blessings and the peace of God. It's not easy. And the devil is sowing tares among the wheat. He's sowing bad stuff among the good stuff. And he's doing it in the church. And I just could not imagine. Just about last Sunday, I think, somebody said that the Mormon church is the Antichrist. No, I don't believe that. He went in and they shot that church up. They had explosives and the church burned down to the ground. And I think this is a day and a time when we really need to be prepared every day for what's ahead. Who knows? You know, we're trying very hard to speak the truth, no matter what the cost. But, you know, somebody could come in here, and we do things to try to, you know, help where that won't happen here, but it could happen here. And there's a price to pay to follow the Lord. And one of the things is to be at the right place at the right time. I don't mind dying as long as it's my day and not what Satan decides. Or somebody that just doesn't like our movement or doesn't like, how do y'all feel? Is this not America where we have a right to say what we want and what we believe? Charlie Kirk believed that. He based and built his life on that with his wife and his two very, very small children. And he turned many people to his way. And yet there was somebody, one person, took away from us, a 22-year-old fella. I pray he gets saved before he leaves this life. And he took away from us. But it's strife. It's spoken of from cover to cover in the Bible. There was problems, church problems. And the leaders were expected to try to calm people down. And let's not let that get on us. And we try to keep a joyous spirit here. And let's go to Psalm 38, verses 19 to 22. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation these few verses. Psalm 38, verses 19 through 22. And here's what David spoke and said. I have many aggressive enemies. They hate me without reason. They repay me evil for good and oppose me for pursuing good. And then he turns and then he prays, do not abandon me, O Lord. Do not stand at a distance, my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. And I think the best thing to do when these things come up is to get close to God. Spend a lot of time in the presence of the Lord. Because wherever there is bullying and strife and backbiting and quarrels and gossip and slander and people telling stuff on people and making people, it's just not good. The thing to do is to handle that the right way, you know. And if anybody is going through that tonight and you've been misunderstood by family, church family, people that you have to work with, and so many other scenarios, I just want to say to you, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer and find those Bible verses that says he will never leave you nor forsake you, and do everything you can to not be involved in that kind of behavior. And I'm a person, I have been, and it's easy to get tarnished by that and tainted by that, and I catch myself more and more. And what I've learned is many times to just let a person say what they want to say. Let them think what they want to think. And the hardest thing to do is to hold your tongue and to quiet yourself. David said this. He had many enemies throughout his life, people that hated him without a cause. And he learned how to be quiet and how to just commit himself to God. And in one place he said, I have quieted myself as a weaned child. You know, many times when you wean a baby or a young person and they're used to having a bottle and then they don't have it anymore, after a while, they realize they're not going to get it, and they begin to quiet themselves, and they'll cry themselves to sleep, and they'll just take it on the chin and go forth. And I think part of the Christian faith, the true faith, is to turn the other cheek. And it's easier to preach than it is to live. And to try to realize what is happening here. I think if we can see that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not people, they're demons that use people. We know that the word says that there are less believers in the world than there are non-believers. Now, and we know that the devil has a lot of people he can work through to, I've seen people cause trouble in churches and laugh about it and be proud that they did it and know that they were, what they were doing was wrong. And all I can say is we have to learn how to hold our tongue. We have to learn how to try to bless people anyway. And by the way, you don't have to run with people like that. People that are unkind to you, and you know that, if you can quietly go where you're celebrated, go where people think the world of you. Well, there's some people I want to straighten them out. I don't want them to think that about me or that. You know, a lot of times in the straightening out, we show out. It don't look good because I'm taking you to a place here. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, King James Version, if we could have that. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I guess a good question is, every tit for tat, every problem that comes up, in that problem, is God for you? I've heard it said by people like this. Well, if God is for me, who can be against me? Never can see, even if they're wrong. But see, that God doesn't work that way. If you're right, God's with you. If you're not right, God is not with you. Sometimes, some of you might have heard this expression. I never heard it till I came to Arkansas, but I just fell in love with it. Sometimes God don't have a dog in the fight because neither one is. It's just total confusion. And another thing, God will be for you in every situation if you're right. But if you're not right, if there's something, he's going to take that into consideration. And sometimes, if we had to clean up our own messes, we wouldn't mess quite as bad. And we have to realize sometimes when we feel awful and feel like God's not helping us, I'll tell you what I've learned to do. It's not easy. I've learned to listen what my critics are saying about me. Listen to them. See if there's any truth in it. Sometimes the people that can help you the most are people that hate your guts and they despise you and they don't know what forgiveness is. They don't know what it is to cover with love. See, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. I love Billy Graham. He said this over and over and over and over in his whole ministry. He said, the Ten Commandments. He said, if one time you ever committed one of those violations of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all. See, we cannot get to God by being holy. Now, the word says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. But we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And if we can deal with every situation that way, And I'm not saying that you need to just be somebody's punching bag, so to speak. The word tells us there are certain people in our lives, we don't jing with them. The chemistry ain't right. We should avoid them and don't talk about them. Not avoid them and say, well, you don't know. And then talk like they do. See, and it's important that we get this. I want you to understand this. If there's any truth in what somebody sang about you, a lot of times that's a hard thing to get a hold of. And I have to tell you, throughout the years, I've practiced that. There's a few things I practice over and over and over and over again. And one of the things I learned to do was listen to the talk of people that don't like me and try to see, ask God, is this true about me, God? Help me to change if it is. And if it's not, sometimes it was, it is, and I try to make those adjustments. Sometimes it's not, and I, you know what I do? I'm going to give you an example. A couple weeks ago, I put an excerpt on Facebook that Charlie Kirk is part of the fifth seal now, where those who were crucified, those who were martyred for their faith are under the altar, it says, and they cry day and night, how long, O Lord, holy and true, before you avenge our blood? You know, the first blood started only four chapters into the book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain killed his brother. People have been killing each other ever since. I've heard some of the most awful, awful things of why people are killing each other. There was a fella in town here, owed somebody some money, and he went to his house, and he said, I'm not going to pay you. And then he shot him dead. The guy that came to get his money, he shot him dead. Now, we've got a problem here. It's not just in California. It's right here in Logan County where we live. And I think we should be really, really trying. But anyway, I put that, Charlie Kirk is in the book of Revelation. I put the place where it was, Melissa. And his blood is, he's joined the martyrs. See, and there are people that are called to be martyrs. And there was this person, I'm not going to call their name. I didn't know very much, but I noticed, I don't know how I got to be friends with them, but they had like 1,200 friends. And they just put on there, Charlie Kirk is not a martyr. Well, you know what I did? I don't know much about Facebook, but I figured out once again how to block somebody, double block them, and triple block them. Because you know what? And I didn't have, I just was speaking the truth. Kelly talks about it all the time. Can't we just have social media where we can share something good? And that if somebody doesn't agree with us, we don't, you know, and people are, teachers are losing their positions. And others are in this country that have tried to demonize that young fella. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of problems we have. Well, why are you talking about this, Brother Angelo? Because this is the world where you and I live. And I think we should try to know what to do when these things come. I think the last thing to do is try to engage people or win by out-talking them or out-threatening them. I think the best thing to do, and what it means to turn the other cheek, is just to get away from it. Just get away from it. And go where you're celebrated and not just tolerated. Go with people of like, whatever you're like. Hang out with people like that. Does that make sense to you? Now, I'd really like you to consider, if somebody's talking about you, just listen to what it is they're saying. Because we have, in this church here, we have never had a church split here. You know why? We live by a code where we don't return evil for evil or lie for lie. We take it on the chin. And Kelly was put in the ministry, and it hasn't been easy for her. And I understand it. And I think right now we're in a room full of people that love her. And that makes me happy. Let's look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14. And I'm gonna give you a great truth. Now, if you're right and you're a child of God and the other person is wrong, God is for you. Romans 8:31, if God is for you, and then who can stand against you? But if you're wrong, you know, I think it was Peter that said this, but let none of you suffer as a busybody or a murderer or a bad person. You're not going to get any feathers in your cap for that. But going to war, the Lord said this here, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, there's a translation of Bible called the Message Translation. Came out in the 90s. Anybody ever hear of the Message Translation? Yeah. Let me tell you what the Message Bible says. God will fight the battle for you, and you, question mark, you keep your mouth shut. That's the Message Translation of the Bible. You can take your phone right now and you can find out. Keep your mouth. Zip it up. One of my favorite places in the Bible is, and it came before I was ever a Christian, the Birds, when I was a kid, a group had a song called Turn, 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 and they used Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time for every purpose under heaven. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to read a little bit of this here in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Says this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 says this, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. There is a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from bracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent. There is a time to keep silent, and there's a time to speak. And it's hard for us. You know what? If you wake up in the morning, you don't live by a moral code, and you're just going out and you have no faith, and you just live by your five senses and your desires, you don't think about that. I remember growing up in the construction, and I was just a young fella. Right before I got saved, I was about 18 years old, 19. I was working for Ma Bell in San Jose, California. And I can remember this foreman saying this here. He worked for the gas company, for PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric. And he said, "I don't get mad. I just get even." And I picked up stuff like that, slang like that, and that got in my spirit. Then I got born again, and there was a war inside of me. One thing would say one thing, and one thing would say another. And I spent years before I got some victory over some of that stuff. And what I found I had to do is, look here, when somebody comes toe-to-toe with you, what you got to do is just walk away. Walk away. Well, there's such a temptation to say, there's no truth in that. And you want to go to somebody and let them know there's no truth in that. But the idea of Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14 is this. You've got to give that over to God, and then he'll fix it. You have to give that over to God, and then he'll fight for you. Now look, if you've got God on your side, you can't lose. It's impossible to lose. And if you don't have God on your side, oh well, I don't know. I'm trying not to live like that. I consider every battle I won like that wasn't worth anything to me. What ends up being worth something, and if I didn't know how many struggles are in this church right now that people are having, people right here being misunderstood, people being hurt, people being taken advantage of, people being, and right in here, somebody's talking about you behind your back. Put your hand up if anything I just said, is that happening here or not? Yeah, yes, it happens. And what I'm saying is this here. There's a higher way. There's a better way. And once again, if it was easy to live like this, everyone would be doing it. This church, we'd have to be in a building program. We'd have to get a bigger building. So would every other church in town. But the thing is, to the world, we don't look good to them. We have to try, if we're going to win somebody to the Lord, we've got to be like Jesus to a certain degree anyway, certain kind of thing. Because we can, I say this all the time, I have never been a part of a Jesus change in somebody's life unless I loved them. And there's been people, as I look back now, if I would have just loved them, I could have won them to Jesus. Some are my family relatives. If I'd have just loved them, if I'd have just turned the other cheek, you know, Jesus was feeding people, healing people. He came into Jerusalem on a donkey. They laid palm leaves down. They said, "Hosanna in the highest." And about a week later, they killed him. And religion killed Jesus. And some of the meanest people I know are church people. And what I'm saying is, Let's try not to be like that. And what I'm saying is this. We've all made mistakes. We have a God. Here's what the word says. He that covers his own sin will not prosper, but he that confesses and turns away from it will find God's blessings and mercy. God wants to be merciful to people that you and me don't even like. I did the kindest thing I could do to keep my own sanity when somebody would tell me that that young fella was not a martyr in the way that he was killed and what we know about it. And I don't even want to go into it. Why? Because it's awful. And you got to hand it to Mrs. Kirk. She said, I want everybody to know I forgive that young man. I want him to be saved. Now, tell me, is it just me? Or would that be a little hard to do? I have thought about people. Even when I was in the ministry, I thought, I'm going to tell you this here. Let's be honest with you. Those people, I thought, I wonder if I could get away with killing them because they were so bad and they hurt people that were so close to me. Now, I know none of you lily whites would do anything like that. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. But I haven't. I haven't killed anybody. Except in my mind, I've done it a lot. I've done it a lot in here and in here. It's wrong. It blocks the flow of the God kind of life that I really want. And it's next month I'll be 74. And being that old, winning arguments don't hardly mean anything to me anymore. Let's make an altar. And I hope that what I shared with you, you can take it in the light that God meant it.